This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com. This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
Post Malone only went into the room because he was with an expert. That's what he said later, with a lot of regret. The room was part of the other man's haunted museum in Las Vegas, and inside it was the Dybbuk box, considered by many as the world's most haunted and cursed object. Even that creepy Annabelle doll wouldn't mess with this thing, some said. The Dybbuk box is a wine cabinet haunted by a malicious spirit, and it first became famous in 2003 when a furniture refinisher put it up for sale on eBay. In his description, he wrote that he bought the box at an estate sale in 2001 from the granddaughter of a Holocaust survivor who first bought it in Spain after she'd escaped from Nazi-occupied Poland. It had never been opened before, though, because it was haunted by a Dybbuk. The box sold and it passed through a few brave hands before its last owner decided against putting it back on eBay. He consulted with rabbis on how to seal the box. He'd had enough, plagued by bad luck and illnesses since he'd taken possession of it. But then he got rid of it too, and it ended up in that museum. And that's where Post Malone encountered it. He was at the museum when the owner decided to take the plexiglass cover off from around the box and touch it for the very first time, with strange results. While the other man was touching the box itself, Post grabbed him by the shoulder, something he'd soon wish he hadn't done. In the months that followed, his private plane was forced to make an emergency landing after its tires blew off. His car was involved in a serious accident. Three armed robbers targeted a home in the San Fernando Valley that they believed to be his. Lucky for Post, it wasn't, but not so lucky for the real owners. Post was convinced the source of this string of misfortune was the Dybbuk box. He hadn't meant to have any contact with it at all. He couldn't believe he'd do something so stupid, but Post Malone wasn't the only one who's felt that way. Doing stupid things seems to be something that's been, and likely will continue to be, linked to what has become known as the Dybbuk box. Welcome to American Hauntings, the podcast dedicated to the history, hauntings, legends, lore, and the dark side of America. And welcome to the latest episode of Season 9, a season we call Based on a True Story. American Hauntings is written and performed by Troy Taylor, that's me, and is produced and co-hosted by Cody Back. And this season, we're bringing you some of the scariest and most unsettling films about ghosts, demons, murder, and mayhem that have ever been shown on the silver screen. But you can't watch any of them and say, it's only a movie. Every episode of this season offers the true story behind these horrifying films, stories that are usually much scarier than anything a movie studio can create. This is episode 21 of season 9, The Possession. According to Jewish folklore, a Dybbuk is a dark spirit that takes over the bodies of living people and uses them for evil. Legend has it that a Dybbuk can be trapped inside of a box and prevented from causing mischief. Unless the box is open, that is. About 15 years ago, a Dybbuk box came up for sale on eBay. The seller, who was an antique dealer and furniture refinisher named Kevin Manis, listed a vintage wine cabinet that came from the estate of a woman who survived a World War II concentration camp. Manis claimed that the first owner's granddaughter was terrified of the box, warning him that her grandmother said it held an evil spirit. Well, he bought the cabinet anyway, though, and soon after bringing it home, he suffered a series of unfortunate events and began having recurring nightmares of an old hag that brutally attacked him. When he woke up in the morning, he would have bruises all over his body. After his mother suffered a stroke, after opening the box, he gifted it to his sister, who I guess he doesn't like, I don't know. Anyway, she claimed she saw the box opening and closing by itself. From there, the box ended up with his brother and sister-in-law, who described unusual smells. While his brother described the smell as being that of jasmine flowers, his wife claimed to smell cat urine. Everyone in the family claimed, as Manis did, to suffer terrifying nightmares of the old woman and find bruises on their bodies. Well, they gave the box back to Manis, who then gave it to his girlfriend. What? Why? Anyway, she didn't keep it long before selling it in her shop to a middle-aged couple, who then left it sitting outside her door 3 days later with a note claiming the box had a, quote, bad darkness. After the return of the box, Manis began to see what he described as shadow figures in his home. He moved the cabinet to an outside storage unit, but that night, the smoke alarms went off in the unit. When he checked to see what was happening, he found no smoke, but a terrible, toxic odor. He brought the box back into this house and then woke at 4:30 that morning to the feeling of someone breathing on his neck and the smell of jasmine. He also described seeing a shadow figure in the hall. After the suicide of one of his employees and then the suicide of an employee's brother who had touched the box, Manis decided to get rid of it by selling it on eBay. Or that's the story he told at the time. The eBay auction came to the attention of Jason Haxton, the director of the Medical Museum at Truman State University in Missouri. He was told about it by a staff member at the museum, whose roommate had purchased the box and was now trying to get rid of it. The staff member said that his roommate had suffered several mishaps, as well as from hair loss, strange odors, and skin issues. On a lark, a skeptical Haxton decided to buy it and gift it to a magician friend who decided he wanted nothing to do with it. Well, Jason was now stuck with the box, but thought little of the powers attributed to it. He wasn't interested in spooky stories in the occult. His job was all about science, and he didn't believe the box contained an evil spirit, especially after he looked inside and poked through its contents, which included a dried rose, two coins from the 1920s, a small gold wine goblet, two locks of hair, a candlestick holder, and an engraving of the word shalom, which means peace in Hebrew. The contents didn't creep him out, but what happened after that did. He began to experience a series of medical issues, including bleeding eyes and strange rashes. A believer in science or not, he couldn't deny that the strange afflictions began right after he purchased and handled the box. So he took the box to a lab on campus and had it tested for poisonous materials and for various kinds of heavy metals, anything that might explain his symptoms. But the lab techs found nothing out of the ordinary. Unnerved and not taking any chances, he reached out to both scientists and rabbis, who instructed him to build a wooden case lined with 24-karat gold, place the box inside, and bury it in the ground. This would, the rabbis assured him, keep the malevolent energy from the box from doing any more damage. And it worked. His illnesses disappeared and his health was restored back to where it had been before he purchased the box. He eventually turned his experiences into a book called The Dybbuk Box, which provides a written account of what he went through during his time as owner of the box. The book was optioned to be turned into a film by Evil Dead creator Sam Raimi in 2004, but we'll come back to that in a bit. In the meantime, Haxton created a website about the Dybbuk Box, which generated a lot of interest online. He was hammered with information requests and sold a lot of books about the mysterious box, which was, of course, buried underground in a secure and secret location. Well, that should have been the end of it, but it wasn't. Haxton was eventually talked into selling the box to the star of television's Ghost Adventures, Zach Bagans, who put it on display at his haunted museum in Las Vegas. Due to the so-called sinister nature of the box, only visitors over the age of 18 who've signed a waiver are allowed to enter the room where the box is on display. Since it was placed in the museum, Bagans has claimed that people who have entered the room where it's kept have become dizzy and sick, and some have even fainted. Visitors have also allegedly witnessed a shadowy figure passing through the closed doors of the room where it's on display. And then came the 2018 incident with Post Malone. According to Bagans' story, he felt compelled to open the box that night. He didn't want to do it, he said, but he couldn't help himself. Once he did, he was overwhelmed by some sort of evil energy, which caused him to panic, scream, cry, and hyperventilate. Well, as he did, Post Malone, likely wondering what the hell was going on, touched Bagans on the shoulder, but he never touched the box. Even so, he claimed that a mysterious bruise appeared on his arm the next day, followed by the near misses and bad luck incidents that were described earlier. Zach Bagans, of course, blamed all those things on the Dybbuk box. A few months later, on Halloween night, he managed to get his audience to tune into his show because he claimed he was going to open the Dybbuk box on live television. But then, claiming he didn't want to sacrifice his life and health for entertainment, he didn't open it. So it sort of became the 2020 equivalent of Geraldo Rivera and Al Capone's vault. However, he did complain that he was badly affected by the energy from the box that night, as were many of the people in the room. And visitors to the museum still claim to be today. It remains there on display, and he warns people to approach it at their own risk. According to Bagans, he has, quote, a bizarre connection to the box. In an interview, he said that, quote, it will pull me into that room, and sometimes I talk to it in whispers and words that I don't understand. Sometimes I cannot even open the door to the room. As mentioned, scores of visitors to the Las Vegas Museum say the same things. They're convinced the box contains something evil, something demonic, and that terrible things will happen to anyone who touches or opens the box or even spends too much time around it. Exposure to the Dybbuk box, they swear, might even turn out to be fatal. But of course, all of that would be a neat trick, since, as it turns out, the history of the Dybbuk box was all a work of fiction. It was completely made up. Its backstory is a hoax concocted on eBay to sell a beat-up old wine cap. The story of the hoax naturally begins with Kevin Manis, the furniture refinishing business owner who in 2003 purchased the cabinet from the yard sale of a local attorney in Portland, Oregon. He immediately went to work creating its mythology, carving the Hebrew writing and filling it with items that seemed spooky. When he listed it on eBay, he claimed the box had come from the estate of a Polish Holocaust survivor who said it contained the malicious spirit of the Dybbuk, and that the box had paranormal powers that were responsible for his own bad luck and nightmares. And from there, Kevin released it into the world, with subsequent owners of the box retelling Manis's story when reselling the item and amplifying the mythology with claims of their own concerning bad luck, accidents, and illnesses. Eventually, it made its way to Jason Haxton, who embraced the story, wrote a book, and created a website that turned the Dybbuk box into an internet legend. But Kevin Manis remained a part of the story and its debunking. At first, he continued to claim that the story of the Dybbuk box was true. But then in October 2015, he stated in an interview, quote, "I am the original creator of the story of the Dybbuk box, which appeared as one of my eBay posts back in 2003. Make no mistake, I conceived of the Dybbuk box, the name, the term, the idea, and wrote this creative story around it to post on eBay. How about this? If you or anyone else can find any reference to a Dybbuk box anywhere in history prior to my eBay post, I'll pay you $100,000 and tattoo your name on my forehead." And yet, in 2016, 6 months after this admission, he appeared on Zach Bagans' television show, Deadly Possessions, where, as Bagans put it, quote, "I arranged to have the box placed in a containment room so that Kevin Manis, the previous owner, could confront his fears about the box." On the show, Manis opened the box and suddenly, lights in the building started to flash. Strange sounds were heard and Manis decided to, let's say, do a little acting. A strange look appeared on his face and he started to recite a story about a shadow man. He then started speaking in tongues, sweating, making whistling sounds, and coughing. It seemed like Manis had changed his mind about the authenticity of the Dybbuk box, or maybe he just figured that no one had seen his earlier interview about making the whole thing up, or maybe no one cared, and they were just caught up in the spectacle of it all. In 2021, though, Manis admitted again to writer Charles Moss that the box was his own creation. There was nothing evil about it. He said, quote, "I'm a creative writer. The Dybbuk box is a story that I created. And the Dybbuk box story has done exactly what I intended it to do when I posted it 20 years ago, which is to become an interactive horror story in real time." He also said that he added new elements to the Dybbuk box story over the years to help evolve it, keep it relevant and interesting. So if everything about the story is pure mythology, what caused these strange things to happen to Jason Haxton and other subsequent owners? Were they all in on the hoax, or were they so completely convinced that the box was evil that they caused their illnesses and misfortune to happen? Chris French, the head of the Anomalistic Psychology Research Unit at Goldsmiths College, believes this is exactly what happened. He said the box's owners were, quote, "already primed to be looking for bad stuff. If you believe you've been cursed, then inevitably you explain the bad stuff that happens in terms of what you perceive to be the cause. Mind over matter." Or in this case, their fear caused the curse to become true. Now, can any of us say for sure what would happen to us if we were in the same situation? I don't think we can know until we find ourselves in it. The story of the Dybbuk box turned out to be fiction, but perhaps the belief of its owners turned it into truth. It also turned it into a pretty good movie that came out in 2012. The Possession was directed by Danish filmmaker Ole Bornedal, and it was produced by Sam Raimi and Rob Tappert, the creators of a number of horror films like the original Evil Dead. Shot in Canada, it stars Jeffrey Dean Morgan as a divorced dad who, while trying to fill time while looking after his daughters for a weekend, takes them to a yard sale, as you do. And while there, one of the girls, Emily, played by Natasha Collis, buys a box that's covered with Hebrew writing. It, of course, has a demon inside. That night, she hears whispering coming from the box, and when she opens it, she finds a tooth, a dead moth, a wooden figurine, and a ring, which she starts wearing. Emily's behavior becomes increasingly disturbing after this, becoming possessive over the box. At school, she violently attacks a classmate when he takes her box, resulting in a meeting with her teacher, the principal, her father, Clyde, and her mother, Stephanie, played by Kira Sedgwick. Emily's teacher recommends that she spend time away from the box, so it's left in the classroom overnight. But that evening, curious about the mysterious noises coming from the box, the teacher tries to open it. But a force from the box violently throws her out a window, and she's killed. After Emily gets the box back, Clyde tries to get rid of it. During their next weekend at Clyde's, Emily becomes more upset about the missing box and even accuses Clyde of abusing her. She flees the house, finds the box, and then a voice from inside it starts speaking to her in Polish before she seemingly becomes possessed. Clyde takes the box to a university professor who tells him it's a Dybbuk box that dates back to the 1920s or 30s. And such boxes were supposed to contain a dislocated spirit as powerful as a demon. Seeking help for his daughter, Clyde then visits a Hasidic community in Brooklyn and finds someone to help him and his family. Well, I won't go on from there. I want you to watch it yourself because this is a good one. It doesn't involve any of the characters from the real-life drama that revolves around the Dybbuk box, and trust me, that's for the best. The only thing the film has in common with the story of the real Dybbuk box is that both of them, as it turns out, are works of fiction. Thanks again for listening to American Hauntings, and we hope you'll stay tuned for the postmortem section of the episode. It's coming up right after these messages from our sponsors.
All right, let me set the scene for you here. It's midnight. You're lying in bed, scrolling through some probably creepy website that you found, because that's what our fans do. And you hit the add to cart button on the item you've been looking for. After 15 minutes, you decide you've done enough damage to your wallet and decide to check out. You remember that your wallet or your card is in the living room, and you don't want to get out of bed to go get it. Just as you're getting ready to abandon your cart, that's when you see it. That purple shop button. That shop button that has all your payment and shipping information saved, saving you time while you stay warm in your bed. That's Shopify, and there's a reason so many businesses sell with it. Because Shopify makes anything easier, from checkout to creating your own storefront. Shopify is the commerce platform behind 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., from household names like Mattel and Gymshark, to brands just getting started, and the American Hauntings clothing store. Shopify gives you that leg up from day one with hundreds of beautiful, ready-to-go templates to express your brand style, and there's no need to worry about knowing how to write even a single line of code. Shopify has you covered. Tackle all those important tasks in one place, from inventory to payments to analytics and more. Spread your brand's word with built-in marketing and email tools to find and keep new customers. And did I mention that iconic purple Shop Pay button that's used by millions of businesses around the world? It's why Shopify has the best converting checkout on the planet. Your customers already love it. If you want to see less carts being abandoned, it's time for you to head over to Shopify. Sign up for your $1 per month trial and start selling today at shopify.com/hauntings. Go to shopify.com/hauntings. One more time, shopify.com/hauntings.
This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
Hi.
Hey.
You're late.
Kiddo, you ready to go? I'll have him back Sunday after lunch.
Just healthy food, okay? No pizza?
I'll give you $5 if you don't tell your mother.
Make it 35.
Dad, you need dishes.
Dad, look!
Look, I'm a lady.
Cool.
Daddy, can I get this?
Whatever you want, kiddo.
There's something in there.
Well, that's weird. There aren't any seams.
What does that mean?
I think whoever made this didn't want anybody to open it.
Are you okay?
You feel funny.
Have you noticed anything odd with Emily?
No.
Why is the box so important to you?
Don't know. Just is.
Slow down. Em.
Slow down!
I have no idea what I've got here.
Hebrew inscriptions. It says Dybbuk.
And where are you?
It's the Hebrew word for demon.
What does this thing want with my daughter?
The spirit is the taker of children.
Yeah. Mommy, who am I?
Once an ox is open,
people die.
His truth.
I saw something in her.
American Hauntings this week? Well, we're back with the postmortem, the part of the show after the show, where we sharpen our knives and dissect the episode. My name is Troy Taylor, and I'm the guy who narrates and writes the show. And across from me is the guy who plans to show me this really cool wooden box that he bought at a yard sale last weekend. My friend, producer, sidekick, and co-host, Cody Back. Oh, whoops, sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry. Cody's not here this week. I have to apologize for missing the last episode, and Cody doesn't need to apologize for missing this one because he's had something come up with medical stuff. Not his, but you know how that goes. So he couldn't be with me tonight to record this, so he'll have to do the hard work on it later, and we'll get this episode up and running for you. And again, I do apologize for missing the last episode. It kind of came up at the last minute, and some things got messed up, and normally I wouldn't be traveling much in October because I've got about a million other things that I need to be doing, but I had a chance to go to New York to do some further filming on a season of a show that I believe it's season 3, but season 2 I think is coming out next month. And I was featured in that season 2. And as I know more, I will let you guys know more as soon as they tell me it's okay to talk about it. But I was in New York City for several days, as I think some of you saw that I might have posted on my Facebook page. So that is that's where I was. So I was out of here, and I wasn't able to record. So anyway, I'm sorry about that. But I do want to do some stuff for today so that, you know, we don't leave you guys hanging 2 weeks in a row. I probably won't talk about this episode a whole ton since I just did the entire story from it. But if you guys have any questions about it, definitely shoot me over some text messages on the Haunt Line, and I will try to answer them next time when I can and get back to you guys because it is, as I mentioned, a movie that I do really like. And you know what? I'll come back to that in just a minute. For now, I do want to run down a couple of things that we have mentioned or haven't mentioned because I wasn't here last time, so we didn't get a lot of the stuff that we usually talk about. The last open event that I have in October, you may have seen this on the website, is the Houdini Seance on Halloween night. I've still got a few spots left for that. We don't have a ton, but I will tell you this will be the last seance that we'll be doing at the Mineral Springs. After the Houdini section is over, we usually start and you're kind of turn things into a general seance, kind of like the one that we did earlier this month. So this will be the last one that we'll be doing at the Mineral Springs. And I'm sure a lot of you already know that we're going to be moving at the end of the year. We've still got events coming up in November and December, which I hope you'll check out. There are still some dinners and some things going on over the next couple of months. But then the last day that the museum will be open to the public will be December 13th. We do have a special event on December 14th, which I think there's only two spots left for. I'm not even sure if that's the case. I probably need to check. Halloween, I'm running a little behind here with October stuff. But check that out if you're interested. Check out the Houdini Seance, which is a lot of fun on Halloween night, which also reminds me that I just released a new book called The Man from Beyond. It's Houdini Among the Spirits, and it's about his feelings about spiritualism, the way that he was in search of a way to contact his mother who passed away and started to see a lot of different mediums and attend a lot of seances, only to be mostly disappointed by all of them. And he kind of went out on a revenge tour, so to speak, against spiritualists and everything to do with ghosts and spirits and seances. But the thing about Houdini is that even though he was taking apart the, you know, the fake ones, the frauds, he still was fascinated with the idea of making contact after death, which is why he created that pact with his wife, Bess, and with a number of his friends, that if it was possible to reach out from the other side, he would do so. And so, you know, that had always remained kind of an ongoing thing throughout his life. And then, of course, he died very unexpectedly on Halloween of 1926. And for the next 10 years, his wife continued to hold seances, trying to make contact with him, as did a lot of other people. But there's a lot to this story, and it turned into a pretty lengthy book. So anyway, that is out now. If you're interested, we have it at the American Oddities Museum, or it's available on the website if you go to AmericanHauntingsBooks.com. There's also new, or newish, I guess, there's an updated edition of my book, The Devil Came to St. Louis. I hadn't done an update on that in 4 years, since 2021. And so I wanted to get that updated because I'd had some new material, couple of new interviews that I'd done, that kind of thing. And I've been talking about those things kind of in the, you know, presentations, the dinner events that I do about the St. Louis exorcism, but I hadn't included it in any of the books. So if you're interested in that, that's also available through the website and at the museum. I will still have a couple of St. Louis exorcism events coming up this year. That's part of the few things that we have that are still available in November and December. Like I said, you know, grab those because these are going to be the last events that we do at the new museum or at the old museum in the Mineral Springs. I do have coming up shortly, within the next week or so, I'll be putting up on new events, tours, pub crawls, and things for the first half of 2026, including, although this is already up, our Dead of Winter event that's going to be on February the 7th. That's our annual food drive event. You guys are familiar with it. I probably don't have to tell you. It's 20 plus years now of us gathering food for local food banks and things. And we do that toward the end of winter, mostly because by the holidays, by the time the holidays are over, all the food banks in the area are pretty much wiped out. They don't have much of anything left. So this really provides a lot for our local food banks, and that's thanks to generosity from you guys. So that is a daytime event that is completely free. We'll be holding that at the Franklin Lodge, the Masonic Lodge in Alton, in Upper Alton, actually, the upper part of town. That is a very haunted spot. We do a lot of ghost hunts and things there, and we'll be having the Dead of Winter event there on February 7th. In addition to that, we do have some ticketed after-hour events that will be held, too, later on that night. There's a Devil King St. Louis dinner, speaking of which, a Black Mirror workshop, and then a ghost hunt that night at Franklin Lodge. And the night before, we're going to be doing a VIP event at the New Museum, which will be located in downtown Alton. So we'll be having that, and that's the only way that you can pre-order T-shirts for that event is by coming to that VIP event. You'll get a pre-order T-shirt that'll be held for you. We'll have some at our booth at Franklin Lodge the next day, but we won't have as many, obviously. We won't have ones that you can save. So if you're interested in doing that, getting one of the shirts, and they are pretty cool, you can check it out at AmericanHauntingsInc.com or just AmericanHauntings.net. That's easier. That'll get you there. So you can find out all that stuff as far as tours, events, anything we've got coming up. And I'm sure we'll be talking more about it in the weeks to come. I don't have the list of new Patreon supporters. I do not have that. Cody has that. I usually just send them over to him. But for those of you who might be interested in our Patreon, that's come up quite a bit lately, mostly because we had an entire season of the Patreon, the alternate podcast that we do for Patreon members only, about Ed Gein, which is going to be a few things here I'm going to talk about in a minute when I talk about the text I got on the haunt line. But the Ed Gein season was a lot of fun to do, and we've gotten a lot of interest in that since that new Netflix show came out. But if you are interested in the Patreon program, we do have 5 full seasons of that alternative podcast for you to binge. We also kicked off the new season recently. We're just about to go into episode 3 next week in our new show about the Starved Rock murders. So if you've been thinking about signing up, now is a good time to get it. Get on that and do it, with the Ed Gein season, if you're curious about that and curious about the actual story rather than what you might have seen on Netflix. You can check that out on our Patreon. And so, you know, we do that every other week, so it kind of fits into the regular run of this show. So you could check that out at patreon.com/AmericanHauntings. Now, I know that, I don't have the reviews. Cody does. He usually handles that kind of stuff. So I don't have, if you've sent in any letters or anything to him, he'll have those, and we'll talk more about that, obviously, in a later issue, or later episode. You can tell I've had writing on my brain here lately, so a lot of new things coming up and that sort of thing. But you know, we'll talk more about that soon. But I know I do have some things that I wanted to get back to you about with our haunt line, because we do have some questions and comments and such that have come in about that. And so, let me get a hold of that, and we will, and I'll talk more about that in just a moment. Because I wanted to take a second here and mention that I do have a few of our reviews that have come in over the through Apple, through iTunes. So I do have a couple of those that I'd like to read, and then I will get into the haunt line. So if you guys have a comment, those are the reviews I don't have. Anything that anyone might have sent to us from, email, you can get a hold of Cody that way at AmericanHauntingsPodcast@gmail.com. And so then you can also leave us a review. I said, we try to, if we read your review online. We try to let you guys know that, you know, you can, if you hear your review, contact me on the hotline and we'll send you something cool in the mail. I'm usually like way behind on that, I admit, but I do eventually get to it. So anyway, I do want to read a couple of podcasts that we have here. Let's see, podcast I found. Okay, so, okay, here we go. This one comes to us. This is just, it says, I think Cody did that last time. Man. But hey, you know what? I'm not sure. So I'm going to read it anyway. This one just says, found the perfect podcast. This one comes to us from ROBDP13. I don't try to pronounce them, but it says, hey, found out about you guys through Astonishing Legends, listened to the Villisca series and got hooked. Listened to the Limp series next, and now I'm trying to binge every season to catch up. I joined Patreon to be able to listen about H.H. Holmes, who has always fascinated me, and Albert Fish. Love this pod because anytime we travel, we always do ghost tours, not because I think they're real, but for the history. This pod provides the perfect balance. I've got a long way to go, so I'll probably never hear this review read, but I love the banter. Troy and I are probably about the same age. I remember the cereal box records and read Stephen King way too young, too. He has the same taste in movies as me. You guys seem to be a great pair to sit and have a beer with. I live in North Florida, but now I have to book a trip to St. Louis to see the mansion and hopefully make it to the conference and buy you guys a drink. Keep it up. By the way, always listen to the very end of the podcast. Take care, Robert. So I don't know, I don't know which ones of these he's read, but, I'll just read this one real quick. This one just says best podcast I found for stories on history and hauntings. This one comes from, Yon G or Gee. I'm not sure, about the last part, but, best podcast I found for stories on hauntings and history around the hauntings. I love how Troy doesn't just regurgitate what most people know the stories, but researches in depth about it. He won't say anything is true if it isn't. Love the format and attention-grabbing introduction, story, and all the facts or speculations backed up with research and the stories not interrupted by a co-host asking questions. Postmortem, where the questions are asked and discussed. Troy and Cody have a fun little banter between them. Each episode leaves me wanting more and making the bi-weekly episodes not enough. So I enjoyed the Patreon episodes too. Each season has different themes and the stories in each season correlates with each other and either a full story in great detail or things that are common like the based on a true story about movies. Some episodes can be gruesome, so listen at your own risk. So anyway, so there's a couple of reviews that we've had that have been recent. And like I said, I do want to get into the haunt line just a bit. There's kind of a common theme with the haunt line, as you're about to hear. But if you guys do have questions or comments, you can send us a text on the haunt line at 217-791-7859, and it might get read on the show. This one comes to us from Eddie. He is a long time, a frequent flyer in the text, which is all right with me. Anyway, Eddie says, watch the Netflix Ed Gein story. It was horrible. Wouldn't recommend it to anyone to watch. P.S. The writers and creators took so many liberties when they produced the Ed Gein story. They made him completely guilty for more than the two murders he committed. Yeah, it's pretty wild. It's kind of all over the place. And if any of you watched it, I mean, I would not criticize the acting or the filmmaking because it was really well done, well shot, well acted. I thought Charlie Hunnam did a great job. It's just that it's so full of errors. I mean, and you know, it's not a documentary. I get that. You know, I only hate that, you know, that these are presented as true crime and then most of it's not true. And that's kind of, I don't know. It bothers me, you know, if it was presented as a fictional thing, I guess I'd get it, but anyway, so here's another one from the 801. This is from Tomas in the 801. It says, hey, Troy and Cody, I've been listening to your podcast for a couple of years now. Absolutely hooked, and I've gone through the whole podcast at least twice. I was wondering if you guys have seen the new Netflix series called Monster, the Story of Ed Gein. Now, see, he thought it was absolutely creepy, which it is at the beginning. Let me know what you think of the show. If you've watched it, if you haven't, hope you enjoyed as much as I have. So, Tomas liked it. And I get that, you know, I don't want to tell people not to watch stuff. I just don't. And so if you liked it, don't like it, I get it. I did not care for it. As I always say, that was my taste. I really bothered by the inaccuracies, as are a few of the other people. This one comes to us. While it's the 217, it's Stephanie out in Tucson. So she's got her number like I have moved all over with mine. Anyway, she says, just finished the Netflix monster, Ed Gein. I've officially become a billboard for... Quote, now if you really want to know about Ed Gein, sign up for Patreon and listen to Troy and Cody's Ed Gein and the Texas Chainsaw Massacre season, unquote. Anyway, she says, I'm blown away by the embellishments they've done. And that comes to us from Stephanie. So, I mean, she doesn't hate it, obviously. You know, she just, you know, probably had some other ideas about, about what it was going to be, as did I. So... anyway, I did want to share this one just because it's topical. I was just today working on the next episode of Canyon, which is, of course, the Starved Rock murder story that we're doing on Patreon. And this one comes to us from our friend Rick Ray, who is a law enforcement officer in the St. Louis area. And Rick says, hey, greetings from Starved Rock State Park. This was sent to us last week. And he says, Jan and I hiked to St. Louis Canyon today, a beautiful location, but of course, I was looking at it with a different perspective. If you don't know, that is where the murders actually occurred. And then he adds, this evening's dinner at the lodge, then relaxing and listening to episode 2 of Canyon. So that was last Tuesday when that came out. So Rick decided to listen to the episode while at Starved Rock, which is... it's not so brave for him. He's used to that kind of thing. I think that would be a bit of bravery for some people. So anyway, guys, thanks so much for hanging with me on this. I know it's not exactly a super informative or answering a lot of questions and things about the episode because Cody's not here. Even though he doesn't owe an apology, I'm sure he is sorry to have missed it for you guys' sake. He doesn't care about me. So anyway, I'm going to wrap this thing up and I'll just do both of our parts. Thanks again for checking out the story and the postmortem, such as it was, for this week's episode. We hope you love the show. If you do, we hope you share it with your friends, family, strangers, or even people you meet on the street. Encourage them to listen. If you get a chance, we hope you go to iTunes, leave us a 5-star review. Don't forget that as an American Hauntings listener, you can use the discount code PODCAST for 10% off any books, tours, or events you purchase from our online store because American Hauntings is more than just this podcast. It's also books, tours, ghost hunts, events, the Haunted America Conference, and the American Oddities Museum in Alton, Illinois. You can find everything about us on the website, AmericanHauntings.net. Now, this is Cody's part. This episode of the American Hauntings Podcast was written and narrated by Troy Taylor, and it was produced and edited by Cody Beck. To find out more about the show, check out the show notes or go to our website at AmericanHauntingsPodcast.com. If you want to find out more about the podcast, you can reach us via email, by text on the Haunt Line, or on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Well, okay, Facebook and Instagram, really. But anyway, thanks again for listening. We couldn't and definitely wouldn't do it without you. So until next time, goodbye, so long, and see you later.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com. This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.